can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's your girl and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around.
No need to fake it.
You can never tell.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Hey, everybody. So, of course, right as I hit the record button, I noticed that there was a beeping sound outside. There's nothing I can do about that, except, of course, to apologize. But right now, they are refacing the building right next to mine, which means tearing off all the old siding, and then they're going to tack up all this new stuff, insulation, and then they throw on the external layer of siding. But apparently, right now, what's really involved in that is a whole lot of truck backing up. Unless, of course, it's my UPS delivery. Hey, hang on, let me go see if that's it. It was not UPS. It's not my special delivery. Nope. Okay, so, yeah, anyway. Construction going on in the buildings in my complex, so, sorry if there's any noise. And, thankfully, it's not my building. Although it will be at some point, because I think all three other buildings, once this third one is done, will have been completely refaced and all pretty. I don't know if that meant that their rents were jacked up. I hope not, for their sake. But face it, selfishly for my own as well. We're all in this together. And yeah, once it happens in my building, It'll be noisy. It'll be dudes on scaffolding right outside my windows, just hammering or pulling stuff away. And maybe I'll learn Spanish in the process, because that's the dominant language. And kind of wish it was French. That might be a little bit more useful to my near future. Spanish would be useful for my ongoing future, but. Hey, that's assuming that there's any ongoing future for any of us here in America. You know, and I was thinking about it as I'm reading this biography about Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir. Yes, I'm still reading it. I'm really slow because I go for days without reading at all because I focus on other things. But yeah, you know, Trump, Russia, this isn't really our country anymore. You know, Russia hates the gay. Well, not Russia. It's not fair to paintbrush all their people, just like I wouldn't want America paintbrushed as we think like Trump does. But Putin, whatever the fuck his name is, who cares? Mr. Pooh of the tin. He hates the gays. And so, yeah. So yesterday, Trump issued a statement on Twitter that no more transgendered serving in the military at all in any capacity. And if you don't think that there's a direct relation between the two, then you are more naive than most Trump supporters, and I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for all of us. You know what? Shit's going to hit the fan sooner or later, and you know, one would think that being that we're wedged between two other mighty countries, that would be the Mexico and the Canada, that maybe we'd feel safer because, like, hey, our border friends, they'll help us, won't they? Why the fuck would they? Why the fuck would Mexico want to do anything? Why would they want to help us at all? It's not like Trump or America in general has been completely hospitable, because sure, even when we have immigrants coming here and stuff, it's not like we're paying them halfway decently. Like, it's not just a matter of like banning people or saying no, you can't come here, or making it fucking difficult for people to get here. It's not like we've provided a super great life for them here. Maybe it's better than where they came from. Maybe not. I don't know. I haven't been there. But anyway, I can't see any reason why Mexico would necessarily help us unless they thought it would help themselves to do so. In Canada, you're fine without us. You're so much better without us. So again, I guess it would only depend if you felt like your borders were threatened by whatever country Russia invades us or terrorists invades us, then maybe Canada would feel the self-interest and step in. Although honestly, after what I've just heard from how Timbers fans have behaved recently at soccer games up in Vancouver, BC. That's right, we're Sportsy Talk with Rose. Did I ever say, hey everybody, it's me, Rose. Hi, it's me. Hello, how's it going? Yeah, it's going to be rambly today. I haven't had coffee because my stomach is not my friend right now because I've been on antibiotics for a week after having my tooth pulled out. Maybe I'll get to that in a minute. Maybe not. Who cares? What was I saying? Oh, yes. So Timbers is the name of the Portland soccer team. And they have a very vocal fan base known as the Timbers Army. Now, when I lived here before, I believe it or not, went to a couple of soccer games because it was fun sitting with the Timbers Army as it was at that time. I had a couple of friends in it back then, and it was loud, it was boisterous, but it was very friendly and warm. It didn't feel super brocephus and gross like it does now. Because apparently when the Timbers went up in Vancouver, and while the Canadian national anthem was playing, every time that there was a pause in the song, all of the Timbers Army people, and that's a fuck ton because like they travel. This is like their life for some of them. They're like deadheads, but wearing green and white Timbers scarves instead. So anytime there was a pause in, you know, oh, Canada, like my singing? Yeah, okay. So in that instance, every time there's a pause, the Timbers Army would yell, eh? Yeah. Yeah. They think they're fucking hilarious. So it became, oh, Canada, eh? Da-da-da-da-da-da, eh? Like, fuck you, you fucking piece of shit, ugly Americans. What? Why the fuck? Oh, and Sanchez, I know you think I'm just talking about one person in particular as I ramp up here for a minute, but this is in general. But yes, there have been more recent cases. But I do not understand why anybody would go to another country to make fun of the people in that country. What the fuck? You are a guest. You are a guest. You live by their rules. You obey their laws. If you're going to a place that's culturally vastly different than your own, you'll learn all about that. You know, Canada, we're cross-culturally very friendly with each other, so there's not a lot of mystery there. But that's not a license to just go up there and make fun of all the stuff that you do actually know. All I can hope is that bad press like that makes fewer and fewer people want to come to Portland. Speaking of which, as I've mentioned before, I follow the @PDX alerts on Twitter. I really recommend you do too, especially if you're thinking of visiting or moving to Portland, or like so many people, know someone who's thinking about doing it. No. Again, just have them keep reading @PDX alerts. Oh, wait, hang on. Well, that was a very important message that I just got. We'll get to that later. I'm talking about now here in Portland, the mean streets of Portland. Because yesterday afternoon at about 2:30 in the afternoon, on my street, just a couple of blocks away from the block I live on, you know, address-wise or whatever, there was a report of a naked woman wandering around, theoretically in detox, because apparently, when the heroin leaves your body, it makes you really hot and sweaty. So now I understand why so many heroin users are always wearing fucking layers, because when they're between scores, which is most of the time, unless they're sitting there with a needle in their arm, they're going to be getting hot and sweaty. Now I know why junkies wear layers in the summer. The more you learn, the more you know. So yeah, there was a naked lady just wandering around my street yesterday. I'm glad I didn't go check the mail. I don't know if the construction guys got an eyeful or not. Eyeful. New from Apple. It's the eyeful. Okay, I'm not even going to go down that path because I do not have the comic chops to do it. Yep. So, yeah, and also a brand new beach just opened up. Like, there's all this riverfront area, you know, on either side of the Willamette, and there's like walkways and pedestrian paths and all that, but not all of it has been open to the public for various and sundry reasons. But this just less than a fucking month ago, like I swear, it was like maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe three, a new little beach was open to the public called Poets Beach. And of course, my first thought was, yep, that's going to be a new camp for our friends, the Criddlers. And sure enough, it was. And Tuesday, a couple out there walking their dog passed by, like a man and his wife or girlfriend or hobo honey. A man and his hobo honey were in their tent. And so this couple walking their dog, like, walked past and apparently, like, you know, had made contact with the people in the tent, and everything seemed like all okay. Like, it's like, this is, we're doing our thing, you're doing yours, we're all cool, just being homeless and non-homeless together. Ain't that great? Yeah, it is. Until a few hours later, when the couple walking their dog was off leash, and the homeless man decided to pick up a metal rod or pipe and attacked them. She had to be taken away to the hospital in an ambulance, and the man had to drive himself there. So that's cool. That's welcome to Portland. It's so beautiful here. It's so awesome. Oh, and one other fun, a lot of shit's gone on in town this week. I don't know if it's more than usual. It just, maybe I just noticed it more, but a house blew up. An entire house blew up. Gone. Boom. Gone. Blown up. Houses, a house on either each house that was on each other side of the no more place, they got damaged as well. And they knew one guy was dead right away, the homeowner. And then the next day, when they were going back and cleaning up the debris, they found the body of a 62-year-old man who had been there doing home repairs or, you know, helping with, like, reconstruction and stuff. And the two families had known each other for a long time. And so at first the thought was like, oh, you know, a guy must have been doing renovation work and maybe didn't know what he was doing. And so, like, let a gas pipe leak kind of thing, which, you know, we had a building blow up in Northwest several months ago from a gas leak. Thank you to a Slack construction company. So that was the thought at first, but no, instead what it was the homeowner himself, the 42-year-old guy. He was trying to make his own hash oil, which is something that people use for, I think that's what they just use it just to smoke on their own. I don't know, because I don't get complicated with my weed, people. I just like it. I just like it flowery, burnable, you know, right there. Just occasionally I will use a vape pen, and I will be very careful to get the kind that does not use butane or alcohol in the processing, because those are added chemicals that I do not need. But then there's this other thing that people do with marijuana called dabbing, and I'm not even sure how it's done. Like, I've seen, like I think you have a chunk of hash resin or hash oil, and you dip something in it and light it. I don't know. It just, there's multiple components and tools involved. And so when I see that, I just think of, like, it just looks like junky stuff to me. It just looks like, it just looks to me like, oh, so first you heat up the heroin and then, or first you heat up the crack and then, it's like, it's just, it's too far away from the simple purity of just smoking a bong hit. Thank you very much. But anyway, in the process of making that that oil, so one can be super mellow, I guess, because it's really strong doing that too, which is like, I don't need that. I like to keep my time. I'm smoking less and less so I can have a lower tolerance. So it's really strong for the people who just like just don't want to be able to walk whatsoever. They just want to sit there in a puddle on their sofa and drool on themselves. Like, it's that fucking strong. In the process of making that, you use natural gas, and it's a complicated closed loop process. Because I read about it on Reddit. This is the only reason why I know, like, half this stuff. Like, I mean, I've told you, I mean, like, yes, I've known junkies and blah, 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 but I don't really ever get into the nitty-gritty of how things are done or made, because I just, it's not my world. But apparently, it's like somebody referenced the fact, like, oh, yeah, you should never, like do a closed blasting in a residential area. So I Googled closed blasting, and it explained, oh, it's like they're using butane, and they're doing all this stuff, and it's, and in reading the instructions on, like, you know, how to for the novice, it all says, like, do not do this in your home. Like, this is, and I just wanted to be able to at home make his own way of getting super high, and that's what happened. You know, of course, at first when it blew up, the first thought that everybody had was, oh, it was a meth house, and they were making meth in there, and everybody was like gross and pejorative and blah blah blah. And then it was like, oh, well, we know that renovation was going on there. Oh, I bet the handyman just got sloppy, you know, blah blah blah. Like, blame that. I haven't really heard any outrage about the fact that it really happened, because for some guy who enjoys marijuana, the pure flower form wasn't good enough for him. He had to take his life and another person's life in his own hand to make it chemically stronger. I haven't heard the outrage about that yet. It's like, hey, I love weed. I do. But if I'm going to be critical of somebody making meth in their home and putting people at risk by blowing shit up, then I am equally critical of somebody doing that, even if it's with the drug of my choice. So yeah, there's that. Hey, come on to Portland. It's great. Houses are exploding. We've already talked about in the past the machetes and the masturbation and the meth. Now we have naked women walking around. Oh yeah, some guy also shit outside right on the sidewalk there at 37th and Hawthorne, like the same area where I was shoved and stuff back in March, the place where I go to the grocery store all the time. And yeah, and some other store that has like a, you know, they pull the gate closed when they close their business for the night, so that way people don't break in the door or sleep in the doorwell area. Well, they had to call the police because there was a naked man there who was fast asleep, and they didn't want to lock him in. I guess when they opened their door, they stepped over him, but then realized, oh, if we pull the gate across, Nudie McNuderpins will still be here. We need to call the popo to get rid of Nudie McNuderpins. I think that was his name. Welcome to Portland. It's the best. So let me just get to a couple of other things real quick, because I don't know how long my stomach is going to stay settled. Like I said, I was on an antibiotic for a while, and I've been eating soft food, which, you know, I'm not sick of eating macaroni and cheese every day, nor am I as sick of eating pasta with tomato sauce every day. I'm a real... You know, I'm on the spectrum. So for me doing the same thing every day, that's fine. That's weirdly comforting. But I can't stand the sound of stirring it, of scooping it from the container to put into my bowl. Just that. All that sound. I don't know if that carried on my wayward son, but that sound, I can't stand it. And, so let's go ahead and follow up with the dentist. Okay, so like I said, Gentle Dental Dam had been super wonderful and gentle and considerate of my emotional needs every time that I've been there. I have a hole in my mouth now where this tooth used to be. It's as far back in my mouth as one could get, unless it were a wisdom tooth. Like, it's all the way back there. You can't really see anything unless I open really wide. And so, of course, I'm supposed to keep food out of it. And so they gave me this syringe that has a super pointy end that you're supposed to put in the hole to flush out to make sure no food gets in there. And you're supposed to keep doing it daily as the hole gets smaller and smaller until you can no longer fit it in the hole. And the thing is this syringe has a really tiny, pointy, barely thicker than a sewing needle kind of end to it. So if I can't see what I'm doing, I'm not going to be sure if the hole has closed up, and I might just keep reopening the hole by like jabbing with it. And even now, while the hole is there and I can see and I look really hard, putting it down, no. Putting a curved, sharp thing down in a hole in the back of my mouth where I can't really aim what I'm doing. No. So I called the Gentle Dental and said, "Hey, what about this? Because I really down in the hole? No, right? No." And they said, "Hey, quit saying no so much that way. You don't need to clip your vowels. You're an American now." fuck all of us. So they invited me in for a follow up, and you know, when I got there, like, "Oh, how's it feeling? Like are you in any pain?" I'm like, "No, I didn't even really have to take any drugs. Like, it was wonderful. Like, I still feel great. I went for a walk with my friend today." And I was kind of like talking in this voice because I was excited because I had gone out for a walk with my friend that morning and it had been a really nice time. And I was on the upswing from days and days of like horrible dark depression. So I was feeling a little peppy. And so, you know, I kind of sound like a kid when I am like this. And I don't mind that because I don't like my super jaded voice. So I was, you know, being all chirpy. And then about 10 minutes later, the dental assistant opens the door and calls my name. And then she looks at me and she goes, "Oh. No, I don't know why that was her response. Like, she was surprised to see what I was. I don't know if she had read my notes and had made an assumption about my physical appearance. I've never seen this woman there before. She's not assisted me in any of my visits there ever. Or I don't know if because she was on, you know, behind the door on the other side of the counter, it's all wide open so you can hear everything. And I'm like super loud. I don't mean to be, but sometimes I am because I'm excited and I'm nervous. Oh my God, just get me the fuck out of here. I've got a hole in my mouth and I don't want to flush. So she came out and maybe she thought like, "Oh, who is this young girl who is so scared about a syringe?" And then she comes out and sees like this old sack of fat bones. I don't know what it was, but it did not make me feel comfortable as a first impression, you know? Hear my name, Rose. Oh! It was just weird. My cat right now, Millie, just said, "Meh," right back at me. That's right, Millie, that was my response. Meh. So I followed her back into the room, and she was, I did not enjoy her demeanor. She did not feel so gentle. She felt pure, like a pure dam. Oh my God, I'm so sorry right now. I just looked up and my stupid cat is under the curtains, kind of, or behind the curtains. And she just stuck her head out. So the curtain is sitting collapsed on top of her head like a dumb little hat. And she yawned and it was like the cutest fucking thing. I'm sorry. I haven't had coffee and I'm completely sober. Pretty scary. So, she did not have a gentle demeanor, and so I sat in the reclined chair that you sit in, you know, the vinyl chair of vulnerability, because you're all reclined and wide open there. And she's like, "So, I hear you've got questions about the syringe." And I'm telling her my concerns, and she's like, "Oh, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can." And I'm like, "Did you read my notes? Like, I'm the person that I suck. Like, mental high. Like, I don't like to use that as an excuse, but sometimes it is a reason. And face it, who the fuck is going to want to take, like, this this sharp, pointy syringe and jab it blindly in some huge gaping maw hole in the back of their mouth? Oh, I have to pause for a second because Ron Mayle is going to start dancing. Sorry, one moment. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to witness that. It'll seem, I'll explain later. Anyway, so she's telling me, I'm like, look, I can't see. I'm explaining the physics of it in terms of where it is, my lack of visibility. She explains the theory behind it, like, because I was like, can I just hold it like over it or around it and like shoot water? Will that flush it out? And she's like, no, like think of it like a garden hose going into a hole. And I'm like, look, I completely understand the concepts of flushing things out. I'm just looking to see if there are other ways of flushing this out besides jabby jabby pokey pokey, make my mouth bleed, like suck out the blood clot or puncture the blood clot and scabbing. That's, you know, like puncture and reopen what's already healing and thus delaying the entire process. All a theoretical fear that a peanut might get stuck there and a gum will grow over it and then I will end up with this huge, huge protrusion on the side of my face, kind of like John McCain has from being beaten as a prisoner of war. Like, I'm going to have McCain face. I don't want McCain face. Part of McCain has cancer. I don't want any of that. None of that. So she's still telling me, atta girl, you can do it. Atta boy. Atta girl, you can do it. And she's like, it's real easy. You just take the top of your pinky and you reach back there and you figure out where the hole is. And then you take the syringe and you use your pinky as a guiding thing. And I'm like, both of my hands aren't going to fit in there. And the entire time that she's explaining this and again trying to say, like, you can do it. No, you can do it. Oh, you'll be fine. You can do it. No, you can do it. The entire time that she's saying that, my body is recoiling to the point where, like, first I bring my arms up over my chest, but not like, hi, I'm a vampire going to sleep. Or, hi, I'm a bat going to sleep. Because, you know, bats and vampires, they're in the same DNA train. It was more like I'm a praying mantis and my arms are becoming really rigid and stiff as I'm pulling them toward me and my feet are curling and I'm trying to tell my knees not to rise towards my chest because this is no time for fetal position. This is no time for rigor mortis, praying mantis, arm fetal position in a dentist chair. No, you save those good times for the bus. That's what I was saying, or thinking. Neither, just now, is when I thought it. But she was not paying attention to my body language. I just hurt myself, like, mimicking it. Like, I just did my entire body that way so I could describe it again because I don't have imagination to visualize and explain. So she clearly was not paying attention to the fact that I was recoiling further and further into my own abyss to get away from her cheerleader can-do attitude. Like, so she leaves. And then she brings back Dr. Six Eyes. You remember, because he has two of his own eyes, and then his glasses have another extra set of lens on top. So he's Dr. Six Eyes. So Dr. Six Eyes came in, and he's like, hey, Rose, how's it going? And, like, shook my hand, and he goes, I hear you're a little bit nervous about the syringe. And I'm like, yeah, and my body kind of starts to, you know, origami unfold itself a little bit. Not completely. Nope. Just hands across my stomach. Like in a normal, it's time for me to be placed in the coffin kind of scenario. And he looked in there and he's like, oh, it looks really good. Like, cause I was telling him, like, I'm rinsing with antibiotic, I'm rinsing with salt water, I'm eating soft foods, I'm doing everything else. And he's like, yeah, it looks really good. There's no infection. And he took the syringe in there and he flushed it out. And it felt so weird because it's a hole. And I'm not used to feeling anything there, because even when the tooth was there and fucked up, it never hurt me. So now suddenly it's like, oh, look, I've got sewer water. Like I just, like it just felt like I had like a rain gutter in the back of my mouth that was going under my gum. It just, it felt strange. Didn't hurt at all, but I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not going to try this. This is not a thing for me to do. And so he was like, yeah, you'll be fine. Just keep doing everything you're doing. I don't want you to stress about using the syringe. It's not worth it for you to be stressed out about it. You don't need to worry about it. It's not, you know, we don't even have, you know, most dentists don't even give syringes to their patients. We just do it as a preventative thing. You know, usually patients only end up with a syringe after it's too late and there's already a problem. And so we're just, you know, trying to get ahead of the game. But if it's causing you that much stress, you know, it's not good for your healing to be so nervous and anxious. And we don't want that. I mean, he brought the gentle back to gentle dental dam, Dr. Six Eyes. And so he left. And Nurse Ratchet was there still, and I asked her, like, well, so how long does it take, you know, for this to, like, close over, you know, before I have to worry about the end of time because I didn't use my syringe because I'm a big pussy pants. And she's like, oh, it could still be, like, a couple more weeks. And I said, oh, but with the, you know, with the way it's healing now, like I can at least stop eating soft food, right? Because, like, I really miss vegetables. And she's like, no, I mean, if you're not willing, if you're not willing to use the syringe, then, like, no, like, broccoli has, like, little pieces that could get stuck in there. And, you know, like, tongues kind of have a mind of their own and move stuff everywhere. And I'm like, my tongue is under my full control. I don't have much control over many things in this world. But I tell you, my tongue does not have a mind of its own. I barely have a mind of my own. My tongue is just pure reflex. I'm the master of my tongue, bitch. See how much cuter it is when I talk like this? I'm the master of my tongue, bitch. So yeah, she was like, you know, if you're going to eat nothing, if you're going to stray from soft foods before using the syringe, be very careful. So of course, now I'm afraid. And I have to go to the grocery store today to buy more macaroni and cheese and pasta. That's where we are with that. I did eat a peanut butter sandwich yesterday. I ate goldfish, the crunchy kind. I guess the living kind could be crunchy after a while. But yeah, so that's where we are. That's where we are with tooth talk. I don't know why I went into all that. Because I'm going to have to go into it all again August 7th for my next appointment, right after my birthday. Oh, birthday. But anyway, that was that. So like I said earlier that morning, I had gone out for a walk with my friend. And let me just say right now, because it's something that I've been, you know, you've heard me working through it all this time. So nice of you to go on the journey with me. I appreciate it. I'm doing a better job in the friendship department in terms of I'm seeing how I'm growing my friendships that I really want to grow. Because, you know, I talked in the past, like, oh, I just thought, like, once you're friends with somebody, it's instant. And so then I, like, vomit all of my most personal details and, like, you force all this emotional intimacy on somebody right away. And that's, like, totally not cool to do. So I've been, like, slow and steady wins the race. Be a human being like some others. Not all human beings are sucky. You can try to be one of the good ones. So that's what I've been trying to do. And it's for example, one of my friends sent me pictures from the beach. One was of this crazy beetle that had this horn on it. It was dead. That had this big horn on it, because she knows that I have a bug collection. Thank you. And she took a picture of it and said that she thought of me when she saw it, and that if she could bring it home without breaking it all apart, she would bring it back for me as a gift from the beach. Which was lovely. And then she also found this dead seagull that had its arms out. It looked like it should be hanging on a cross, like it was in a crucifix position. And so she sent me a picture of that. And, you know, look, you might not think, hey, somebody sees two dead things on the beach and they think of you. That's what you want in a friend? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's not an expectation. It's not a demand. I'm fine with all of my friends who don't do that because they're not necessarily into dead things. This friend kind of shares my same interest in it. But I wouldn't expect any of my squeamish friends to go do that. And I don't want like gross graphic, like guts, like, because I did used to take a lot of picture of like roadkill and things like that, which I don't anymore. Like now it's too much for me to deal with because I can tell how my brain has shifted. Isn't that cute? My brain has shifted. I don't feel bad about all the pictures I took before, but I just have no interest in doing those kind anymore. So yeah, please don't send me dead pictures. My friends know the kind of clean, sensitive ones to send because they're my friends and we've gotten to know each other better over time. That's what it takes. It takes time. And I've been here for a while now. We're coming up on my third year. And so the friend that I went out for a walk, like they're all connected. They all know each other. She and I went to the park and walked around because we're both trying to get more exercise. And I'm like, look, walking is what I love to do and it doesn't cost any money and it's fresh air and we get to talk and visit. And is that okay? And she's like, yeah, that's great. And so we've made plans to do like a whole bunch more of that because that's the other thing. When I first moved here, whenever I was going to go out with somebody, I wanted it to be like a thing. Like I wanted to like, oh, they can drive. I can't. So I want to go like way out and go do something that I can't do on my own on the bus. And that's not very nice because that's, you know, seeming like, oh, I just want you for a taxi cab service, which wasn't the case because I want to share those experiences with them. But that was where my attention was focused, was on what can I get out of this in terms of an experience instead of, oh, good, I get to spend time with this person. And part of that was also because I didn't know these two friends as quite as deeply as I've been able to since then. And so, you know, sometimes like, okay, so maybe I'll have a shallow expectation because our relationship isn't that deep yet. Like, I get that. Like when you go on a first date with somebody, you go to the movies, you don't go to you don't sit there and like stare at each other's navels and like talk real deep the whole time. I don't know where I'm going with that. But so anyway, so that's part of like how I was kind of like a dickhead friend and. You know, because like I've got all the time in the world, so I'm just eager to do stuff. But of course, nobody else has all this time in the world. They've got responsibilities and stresses and shits. So I was like doubly shitty. And I realized it. And it's like, well, how can I change that? I don't know how I did, but I somehow did. And so yeah, so now it's like, oh, hanging out with Rose is super easy because all she wants to do is just like, like walk in the park. And so my friend got to go because she works late afternoons and nights, so she got her morning exercise in, you know, mid-morning, because I'm not going to, you know, I don't make people get up crazy early just because I do. Again, I'm trying not to be an asshole. Good for me. Hooray. So it was awesome. She's, the two of them are going away this weekend for a camping hot springs. It's an annual thing that they do, and she's already making plans with me for like stuff that we'll do when she gets back because she was being super considerate and thoughtful of like, she doesn't want me to feel left out that I can't go along to this. I wouldn't want to go along with it. And she wanted to make sure that like, I know that there's something consistent in the future happening after this. Cause she's like, they're both working on themselves in terms of self-growth too. And so when you're doing that with yourself, it can go one of two ways. You can either only focus on yourself and think only those lessons or whatever the fuck you want to call it apply to you. Or you can actually be a fucking human being and realize, oh, the more I'm learning about myself, then the more I'm learning about humanity and the better critical and analytical and empathetic skills that I'm learning like across the board with people. And so then that ends up helping other people. And it's like a great, wonderful little circle jerk. Why did I just have to undercut it with that? I don't know. I'm sorry. So then she and I went to the mighty Walmart because I needed hydrogen peroxide, Epsom salts, and lady liners. There you go. That's a little bit about me and the fun of my vagina on antibiotics. And so we went to the Walmart. And I've mentioned in the past that I tend to get compliments on my hair a lot. And I actually changed it to now it's super boring because I just kind of got, I couldn't handle the intention anymore. It just made me uncomfortable. Nobody was, I mean, except creepy, you know, except dudes, you know, except men. But everybody else, like nobody ever made me feel bad or creepy. I just have a hard time having like repeated focus like this, like, let me be invisible. So we were there at Walmart with my invisible hair. It's actually like the Walmart where she and I were before, where this old lady was like just positively peeing herself over how awesome my hair was back then. But this time, it's me with the plain Jane hair. And we're there at the cash register, and the woman ringing us up is probably about my age. And she has really long, healthy, thick hair that she'd put like a reddish dye over her, but it's still like dark colors. Like it didn't look fakey, like when I do my hair, it's obviously fake, but her, it was beautiful. And I was like, oh, you've got such beautiful hair. Like it was really nice for me to be able to say that to somebody else. And like, I love long hair, but it also freaks me the hell out when I grow my hair myself. Like it bothers me. So it's something like, oh, I really admire that person can, like, has that wonderful, that's a wonderful gift that person has on their head, the ability to have long, beautiful hair. And so I was like, oh, you've got such beautiful hair. And she's like, yeah, my stepdad used to drag me around by it all the time. And I'm like, oh, well, hello, Walmart. And she's kept prattling on. She's like, yeah, like I used to joke that's why my hair grew so thick, was like it had to because my stepdad always dragged me around by it. So if it didn't grow nice and thick, I just would have ended up bald. And I'm like, I love you. And she said, but you know what? I broke that cycle. I've got two kids of my own and I love them to death. Not in a homicidal way. She didn't say that. She goes, and I love them to death and they love me and we're a happy family. And man, I broke that cycle. And it was just like, holy cow. Like I just like, boom, this amazing snapshot story of this woman's like decades of her life, really. Just like right there because I complimented her hair. It was kind of awesome. It was pretty great. Like when we walked out, my friend and I just looked at each other like that was something, all right. That was definitely like a human experience, and it was a lot. Like, and I just liked her because it's like she just kind of had that like verbal diarrhea, like natural, like I'm just gonna give you the facts about, like, just like I would. So of course I like, you know, of course I'm gonna like somebody who's kind of like me. If they're too much like me, I'm going to hate them because I hate myself. But we're done with that. Okay, done. So that was my day before I went to the dentist yesterday. And today I had to get up super early because tickets were going on sale. There's this band that maybe you've heard me mention 5,000 times or two, Sparks. You know, they're not exclusively why I'm going to Paris, but they're a wonderful excuse for me to go spend two fucking weeks there just to see them for one night. That's a good excuse for me to spend two fucking weeks there with and getting to see a friend of mine there and getting to run around and see my favorite city and stuff. But I you know, got a little email. Heard from a fellow fan back in Virginia, although she's not a fellow, but she is a fan. She's also from Virginia. I know, what a crying shame that I didn't know about her when I lived there, because honestly, we would have lived probably within an hour and a half of each other. No, within an hour of each other. Oh, and I probably would have enjoyed hanging out with her too. Anyway, what I'm getting to is today, for fan club members, there was a pre-sale for tickets for some American dates. That's right. Sparks are actually doing very few American dates. New York, can't get there. Who cares? LA, three nights. That would be wonderful in a way. In a way, it'd be overwhelming because that is their hometown, so it would be like extra huge and bonkers and insane. But that could also make it really, really interesting. But I don't have any friends down in the LA area. And LA is also not hospitable to non-drivers, and I don't want to spend all my money on Lyft. And just like I would never want to spend all my money on cabs. Like that's just not how I can... It's not what I can do. It's not within my world. Even when I had money, I would always like take public transportation or walk as much as possible because I'm weirdly frugal and I don't know, whatever. I hope I didn't wake my upstairs neighbor. I don't know. Okay. So 3 nights in LA, nope, can't do that. You know, it's a shame that I don't have, you know, a friend there with a car, but I don't. Oh, Sanchez, I hope you're laughing at that. Anyway, I know this is really just like a secret-coded love letter to Sanchez. That's also a hate message about something else. Not really, not entirely, nope. But they also are doing two shows in San Francisco on the same fucking night. They're doing an early show that starts at like 7:30, and then they're doing a later show that starts at like 11:30, because it's San Francisco, baby. It's like New York. It's open all night. I have a friend in Petaluma, and then his friend lives in San Francisco, and they're the people that came up here last summer, and I kind of tried to show them around Portland. And I'm not a super fan of my friend in Petaluma because he's a guy that is nice within his ability, but he completely lacks sympathy or empathy because he really has had an easy life. Great family, great job, white. He has a sweet ass life. And so he just, that's why his friend, our mutual acquaintance, she like took me aside and like thanked me for like paying attention to some of her health needs. Because he wasn't. And it's like, and they've been friends for like 20 years or something. And I just met her. So, you know, there's that. But I really, really like her. She's really outgoing. She's really smart. She's really friendly. She's beautiful, and really intimidating, but super nice. I'm just intimidated because I just think she's like so awesome. So I was like, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and plan to get tickets. Even if I don't have a free place to stay, I can Airbnb it one night. I can just fly down there. I know it's insane. I can just fly down there. It's not that expensive from Portland, and it's super short trip. So I can fly there, go to both shows, take a Lyft to like a cheap Airbnb for the night, and then leave the next morning, you know, or maybe even see if I could get to the airport and just fly back that night. Like I was running through all of that, but it was all coming down to, I am going to go see Sparks in San Francisco. I'm going to buy tickets. So the announcement was like yesterday, and I messaged my acquaintance in San Francisco and said, hey, this is going on. Could I sleep on your floor for a minute? And it's not like she and I haven't communicated at all since last summer when they were there. We haven't communicated a ton, but I know like there was like a little chit chat on Facebook, and I had messaged her privately to say like, you know, if you want to come up to Portland anytime, you've always got a free place to stay because I've got plenty of room here and you're not an asshole. And so, you know, that was something that we had been talking about, her maybe coming up here to just to get the fuck out of San Francisco for a little bit. But she's also broken poor, like me. And so I messaged her and I asked, and she said, of course, they're like pish posh to the floor. There's a couch and there might even be a bed at that time, you know? And I was like, awesome. Thank you very much. And And then I got a message from her that night that our mutual friend was going to come up from Petaluma, and would I get tickets, and that they were going to get tickets for the show when they went on sale on Friday. And I said, well, guess what? I am a Secret Squirrel fan club and get to have privilege of getting tickets the day before. And since it's a small venue that might sell out, would you like me to do that? So yeah, I got up this morning, because they went on sale at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I got up at 6 a.m. after not sleeping at all last night, because I was so excited, realizing all this shit is actually going to happen. And, you know, it's a good thing that they didn't want to go to both shows, because there was a ticket restriction of each person and credit card and email address and all that can only buy 4 tickets max, you know, total for both shows. So I could buy 2 for 2 or 1 and 3 and whatever. So yeah, I'm going to go to the early show by myself. They wanted tickets to the late show, so I got 2 tickets for the late show, and they're going to PayPal me tonight to pay me back, so that'll all be done, and I'll pay my credit card immediately, because I'm still living debt-free, motherfuckers. That's right, I still have no debt, even though I live on fucking $1,341 a month, and bought a plane ticket, and my rent is almost $900, I'm still scraping by without debt. So the timing is going to be interesting, because I return from Paris, like, October 13th or something. I think I'm flying back on Friday the 13th, because I'm cool like that. And the show in San Francisco is on the 20th. So, and I'm going to go up a day or two early, because I have a friend that I want to meet in Berkeley, and hopefully we'll walk over to Patty Hearst's house. Well, it's not really her house. It was the house that Patty Hearst was kidnapped from by the SLA, you know, the Symbionese Liberation Army. He shares my fixation with Patty Hearst. That's kind of how we became friends. Patty Hearst and Patty Smith. We love the Patties and John Waters. So, yeah, it's October is going to be fucking shitballs, hairballs, crazy time. It's going to be like making up for the past 3 years of drought, of no travel and no major whiz bang excitements, except for the Bridgetown Comedy Festivals. Those were like excitement events. This is going to be crazy. It's going to be 2 weeks in Paris. I get back. I'm home for about 4 days. Remind my cat who I am, and then say bye, leave her again, and then fly down to San Francisco for 3 or 4 days. It'll be crazy. It'll be something. And of course I am nowhere near the physical shape that I should be at all, but also that I want to be, in terms of I need to be able to dance my fat ass off through an entire 90-minute show. Like, and then on the nights that I'm going 2 nights, I'm going to have to be dancing for like a few hours, plus standing in line, plus walking around the giant hills of San Francisco, not to mention all the fucking giant hills in Paris. Paris is pretty hilly, as you know. Sacre coeur! So, a couple of my friends asked, you know, hey, do you have anything special for your birthday next week? Nope. It's all, my birthday's in October as far as I'm concerned. Because, like, what the fuck do I need to do on my birthday? Go to a Denny's for a free Grand Slam breakfast? Wouldn't it be nice if it was a Glam Slam? Ooh, maybe I should dress up glamorous. So that way, it is a Grand Glam Slam. Okay, there we go. Yeah, that is, I am tentatively doing that because my birthday falls on a weekday and I'm turning 54. That's a pretty boring age. You know, turning 55, that's a speed limit. That's exciting. It's like when I turned 45, I was a record. I was RPM. That was also cool. 54, whatever. It's a dumper. So But I did go online to see, like, are there free things that you get on your birthday? Because I remembered some ice cream place. And I, no, it's because I saw some article about some bar that you can go to, or brew pub, like, whatever, where you can go there with 9 of your friends and you all drink free for an hour. And I'm like, I don't drink. Is there anything else I can do for free that I would enjoy? So I'm going to, there actually is a Denny's in Portland. That's right. We're not too cool for Denny's, because really Portland was never cool. And this is just all this gross shit happening. Anyway. I messaged my friend Spike that I went to Oregon City with a couple of weekends ago and went to comedy with and stuff. And cause he doesn't work on mornings. He like works late afternoons, night shifts. So he's like the only person that I knew that would be available to go with me. And it's also totally the kind of thing that he would want to do. So yeah, I'm going to go to Denny's for a grand slam glam birthday. And I think I saw that Dutch Brothers, I'll get a free coffee or something. Dutch Brothers coffee or Dutch Bros. And Starbucks also has free coffee, and there's one of those in my neighborhood, so I'm going to do that. And I think I can get a free Ben & Jerry's ice cream over on Hawthorne. So I think, like, basically my birthday is going to be like, I'm this scam artist. I'm the creeper that's just looking for free shit, because I'm poor. But I'm going to Paris soon, fuck up. Okay, so yeah, there's that. That's why I'm watching this Sparks live concert from Glasgow again, and watching Ron Mayall dance. And then tomorrow I'm going to go for another walkabout and stuff with Joy, my friend from the book club that I went to. Where did we go to together? We went to Rooster Rock and Multnomah Falls. Yes. So Joy and I, she's the woman that left her husband after 40 years and might hate men more than I do. She's certainly the only other woman that I've ever hung out with who will shit talk men as much as I'm willing to. Boy, it's true what Sanchez said about the, you know, no one can hate a man as much as a heterosexual woman, for a good reason. So she and I are gonna, I'm taking her out to Milwaukee. We're gonna walk around the waterfront there and then take the Orange Line Max to somewhere, because I don't know if she's ridden it that much. And I haven't gone on it since those people were stabbed to death. I've been avoiding going on it on my own, and when Spike and I went out on our adventure, that was all bus related. So we're gonna do that. So yeah, so tomorrow I'll get some more walking and exercise in. But really, I fucking need to do it at home a lot more. I can't just count on feeling like going out in the world and walking, because sometimes the world just doesn't agree with me. And what I'm looking for in it, in terms of peaceful, easy feelings. So there you go. That's a nutshell. I won't use the syringe. I have a hole in my mouth. I still have to eat soft food. I'm going walking and building better friendships. And now, not only am I going to Paris, but I'm somehow going to San Francisco. Fuck. I am going to have massive debt after all of this, though. But you know what? Will we even be alive a year from now here in the U.S.? Statistically speaking, somebody like me, what are my odds compared to other Americans? It's feeling worse and worse every day, so I might as well go out with a bang and deal with the shrapnel later, you know, as they say. Yeah, because I still have to pay for food everywhere I go. I'll tell you, man, I'm going to be sandwiching it, you know, paper bag, peanut butter, sandwiching it in San Francisco a lot, just like in Paris. I'm just like when I've gone there before, I basically rely on grocery stores and markets more than I eat out. Like I might eat out as my main meal for lunch, and that's it every day. So who cares? That's just boring talk. So yeah, there you go. I'm feeling better than I did last week. I don't know if that counts for anything. I don't know if Amy's keeping score. There's no real reason to. because I'm going to feel worse again. It's just all up and down, up and down, up and down. That's how it is for the life of an elevator operator. Once you've been one, it never goes away. And I was one. So there. Were you? Huh? Huh? Have you ever given anybody? Have you ever lowered an elevator to let your friends climb up on the top and then given them a ride up and down? Like in a total death-defying kind of way? Wasn't my decision. They asked for it. There you go. Ups and downs. So that's it. I don't know if I'll record before my birthday. This might be the last time you ever hear me as a 53-year-old with one tooth missing. I have more than one tooth missing. That's just the newest tooth. So, yeah, there you go. Hee-haw.